The following is a recording for Melanie Carpenter from iAdvise on Thursday, February 12, 2015 at 8 a.m. Central. IFS, fourth quarter 2014. Good morning and welcome to Intercorp Financial Services fourth quarter 2014 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, please begin.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. On today's call, Intercorp Financial Services will discuss its fourth quarter and full year 2014 earnings. We are very pleased to have with us Mr. Luis Felipe Castellanos, Chief Executive Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mrs. Miquela Casaza, Chief Financial Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mrs. Maria del Carmen Rocha, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer of Interseguro, and Mr. Bruno Ferreccio, Chief Financial Officer of Inteligo. They will be discussing the results that were distributed yesterday. There is also a presentation to accompany these results. If you didn't receive a copy of the presentation or the earnings, it is now available on the company's website, ifs.com.pe, to download a copy. Otherwise, for any reason, if you need any assistance today, please call iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mrs. Casaza, Intercorp Chief Financial Officer, for her presentation. Mrs. Casaza, please go ahead.
Good morning and welcome to Intercorp Financial Services fourth quarter 2014 earnings presentation. We will start with the presentation. Please turn to page 2. Intercorp Financial Services fourth quarter net profit was 232.9 million soles, a 0.8 decrease quarter on quarter, but a strong 96.8 increase year on year. The quarterly decrease was driven by earnings declines at Interseguro and Inteligo, while the year-on-year growth was mainly explained by strong performances at Interbank and Interseguro. Full year 2014 net profit was $964.2 million, a 1.1 decrease year-on-year, explained by a $220.3 million increase in the adjustment of technical reserves, which negatively impacted Interseguro's profit. Excluding such effect, net profit would have increased 10.1% year-on-year. Moreover, excluding such effect and non-recurring items, net profit would have increased 22.1%. Non-recurring items include gains on the sale of investments during 2013, mainly at Interbank, and a negative impact on deferred taxes during 2014 at Interbank due to the changes in the tax rate. Fourth quarter 2014 annualized ROE was 26.2%, and full-year ROE was 24.6%. At Interbank, fourth quarter results were $207.2 million, a 10.6% increase quarter-on-quarter, and 37.5% growth year-on-year. NIM improved 20 basis points on a quarterly basis and 50 basis points year-on-year to 6.6% in the fourth quarter. Full-year net profit increased 18.6% year-on-year, mainly due to a 17.6% growth in net interest and similar income and a 12.3% increase in fee income from financial services. Performing loans and deposits grew 9% and 4.4% year-on-year, respectively. The annualized fourth quarter ROE was 26.2%, and the full-year ROE for the bank was 24.8%, well above the industry average. At Interseguro, fourth quarter net profit was $53.2 million, a decrease of $16.3 million quarter-on-quarter, but an increase of $78.9 million year-on-year. The yearly increase was mainly driven by higher total premiums earned, less claims and benefits, as well as interest and similar income. Full-year net profit was $146.2 million, a decrease of $135.2 million year-on-year, mainly due to extraordinarily low technical reserves registered during 2013 due to the impact on discount rate. Annuity sales increased 21% in 2014, supported by Interseguro's leadership position in a market that continues to expand. Fourth quarter annualized ROE was 38.7% and the full year ROE was 28.7%. At Inteligo, fourth quarter net profit was $15.4 million, a decrease of 45% quarter-on-quarter and 6.9% year-on-year. The quarterly decrease was mainly due to lower other income and higher other expenses. Full-year net profit was $134.3 million, a 22.8% increase on a yearly basis, explained by strong performances in fee income and other income. Assets under management plus deposits increased 15.8% year-on-year. The annualized ROE for the fourth quarter was 13.2%, and the full-year ROE was 28.1%. On page 3, you can see a summary of the key quarterly indicators for IFS. Net interest and similar income grew 7.9% on a quarterly basis and 19.5% on a yearly basis, mainly driven by strong results at Interbank. NIM improved 24 basis points on a quarterly basis and 46 basis points year-on-year to 6.27%. Asset quality remained strong with an increase in PDLs of 40 basis points for quarter-on-quarter, mainly due to the impact in one specific commercial banking client, which we will refer to later on in the presentation. Insurance metrics remains very strong. Efficiency ratio shows a very strong improvement year-on-year of 950 basis points, now down to 39%. Capitalization ratio for Interbank remains strong at 15.2%. On page 4, you can see the breakdown of IFS quarterly profits by segment. The fourth quarter net profit was $272.9 million, almost double the profits for the same quarter in the previous year. Very strong performance at the bank, both quarterly. Let's start again on page 4, where you can see the breakdown of IFS quarterly profits by segment. The quarterly net profit was $272.9 million, almost double the profit for the same quarter in the previous year. Very strong performance at the bank, both quarterly and year-on-year. Quarterly decreasing profits at Inteligo and Interseguro, while strong recovery of earnings at Interseguro year-on-year. The annualized ROE was 26.2%. On page 5, we are presenting an overview of the key indicators for the full year 2014 and its comparison to the previous year. Some key highlights are IFS net profit for 2014 was $964.2 million, a 1.1% decrease year-on-year. Excluding non-recurring factors, net profit would have grown 8% on a yearly basis. The year-on-year decrease was explained by a 74.7% increase in the adjustment of technical reserve due to changes in the discount rate, which negatively impacted Interseguro's net profit. Excluding such effect, IFS net profit increased 10.1% year-on-year. Adding up both effects, IFS net profit grew 22.1% during 2014. Net interest and similar income grew 16.7% year-on-year, mainly driven by strong results of Interbank, the same as in fee income, which grew 13.2%. ROE was 24.6%. Asset quality, in line with the system, with an increase in PDL of 60 basis points year-on-year due to the impact of one specific commercial banking client, as previously mentioned. Insurance results showed strong volatility despite the strong growth in net premiums of 21%, mainly due to an unusually low adjustment of technical reserves during 2013 as a result of an increase in the discount rate used in its calculation. Efficiency ratio remained stable at 41.4% and improved 150 basis points when excluding the impact of the discount rate in the calculation of technical reserves. Capitalization ratio for Interbank remained strong at 15.2%. On page 6, you can see the yearly figures by segment. At Interbank, net profit increased 18.6% year-on-year, mainly due to a 17.6% growth in net interest and similar income and a 12.3% increase in fee income. Loans and deposits grew 9% and 4.4% year-on-year, respectively, and the ROE was 24.8%. At Interseguro, net profit was $146.2 million, a decrease of $135 million, mainly as a result of an initial low adjustment of technical reserves in 2013. Annuity sales increased 21%, while Interseguro consolidated its positioning as the market leader for the fifth consecutive year. ROE was 28.7%. At Inteligo, net profit increased 22.8% year-on-year, mainly due to a strong performance in other income and fee income. Asset under management plus deposits grew 15.8% year-on-year, and the ROE was 28.1%. Please turn to the following page for a brief overview of the quarterly net earnings of IFS 3 segment. Looking at Interbank quarterly results, Interbank's profit reached $207.2 million in the fourth quarter, a $19.9 million increase quarter-on-quarter and $56.6 million year-on-year. The quarterly increase was mainly due to a $29 million increase in net interest and similar income and a $27.1 million increase in fee income from financial services, factors which were partially offset by an 8.3 million growth in provisions. The annual growth in net profit was due to a $73.3 million increase in net interest and similar income and a $39.4 million increase in fee income from financial services, which were partially offset by an $8.1 million increase in other expenses. Interbank's ROE was 26.2% in the fourth quarter, higher than the 25.2% reported in the third quarter and the 22.1% registered in the fourth quarter of the previous year. On page 9, you can see a comparison with local GAAP results. The main differences between the IFRS net profit of 207 million soles and the local GAAP net profit of 191 million are as follows. First, a reclassification of fees from credit cards from net interest margin to fee income. Second, lower fees from financial advisory as they are deferred in IFRS. And third, lower provision for loan losses. On page 10, performing loans grew 0.4% on a quarterly basis as a result of a 3.7% increase in retail loans, which was partially offset by a 2.9% reduction in commercial loans. Retail loans increased due to growth of 4.7% in credit cards, 3.9% in other consumer loans, and 2.7% in mortgage loans. In credit cards, the fourth quarter of 2014 was the seventh consecutive quarter of solid growth, while the past due ratio in such product remained stable at 3.6% in the fourth quarter and third quarter and reduced from the 3.8% registered in the fourth quarter of the previous year. Commercial loans slightly declined in volume, mainly driven by a decrease in medium-term loans due to customers accessing the capital markets and trade finance loans within the corporate business. Performing loans grew 9% year-on-year due to an increase of 15.8% in retail loans and 2.6% in commercial loans. Retail loans grew driven by growth of 25.2% in credit cards, 14.6% in other consumer loans, and 10.3% in mortgage loans. Credit cards increased 190 basis points in its market share year-on-year. Commercial loans grew mainly due to increases in medium-term loans within the corporate and middle market businesses, as well as in trade finance loans. On page 11, Interbank funding base grew 3.9% quarter-on-quarter. This was mainly due to an increase of 4% in deposits and 5.2% in mutual banks and Interbank funds. The increase in deposits was explained by strong increases of 6.8% in retail deposits and 6.5% in commercial deposits, partially offset by a reduction of 2.1% in institutional deposits. The bank's total funding base increased 8.6% on a yearly basis. The increase was due to a growth of 36.8% in bonds, 4.4% in deposits, and 8% in mutual banks and interbank funds. The yearly growth in bonds was mainly explained by the issuance of a subordinated bond of $300 million in March 2014, placed in the international market. Moreover, the 6.8% depreciation of the exchange rate originated an increase in the value of bonds issued in dollars. The yearly growth in deposits was attributed to the increase of 14.5% in retail deposits and 3.5% in institutional deposits, partially offset by a decrease of 8% in commercial deposits. As a result, the proportion of retail deposits to total deposits increased substantially from 38.8% in the fourth quarter of 2013 to 42.6% in the fourth quarter of 2014. The loan-to-deposit ratio stands at 103.2%, with solid deposit-to-loan ratio, loan-to-deposit ratio at 116.6% and dollars at 85.7%. On page 12, when looking at SBS comparable figures to the system, Interbank's cash due loan ratio was 2.5% in line in fourth quarter 2014, in line with the system, despite our stronger focus on retail. This ratio was 50 basis points above the 2% reported in the third quarter and 70 basis points above the 1.8% registered in the fourth quarter of the previous year. The higher past due loan ratio on a quarterly basis was attributable to one specific client within the medium-sized client portfolio and some deterioration in a group of small and micro clients. Such loan was originally granted in 2010 and is part of a syndicated loan where Interbank participated. Excluding the previously mentioned client, PDL ratio would have been 2.1%, 10 basis points above the one reported in the previous quarter and below the industry average. The annualized ratio of provision expense to average loans was 2.2% in the fourth quarter, above the 1.6% in the 1.6% registered in the third quarter. When looking at the PDL's breakdown, we can see within retail that overall consumer credit PDLs have improved 10 basis points down to 3.0% and are below the system average of 3.3%. Credit cards continue to be stable at 3.8% and below the industry average of 4.1%. And mortgages have improved 10 basis points, while the industry average has deteriorated 10 basis points. Within the commercial portfolio, PDLs for the corporate client continues to be stable at 0.3%, while there have been increases in the PDL ratios of both medium and small and micro companies. At the medium corporate clients group, the increase to 4.8% PDL ratio is mainly due to the previously mentioned client. Excluding such client, PDL ratio would have been 2.6%, 20 basis points above the previous quarter and below the industry average. In the small and micro clients group, where the bank has still a small portfolio and low market share, the increase in PDLs to 5.5% is mainly related to a group of clients with no specific industry concentration. And this ratio continues to be below the industry average of 8.3%. On page 13, fee income from financial services increased 27.1 million quarter on quarter, or 17.7%, mainly explained by increases of 15.8 million in maintenance and mailing of accounts, interchange fees, transfer and credit and debit card service fees, and 10.2 million in commission from banking services. The higher credit card fees was a result of an increased number of customers, while the increase in commission from banking services was a result of higher transaction and saving account fees and higher insurance premiums sold for Interseguro. The 39.4 million or 27.8% increase year on year in fee income from financial services was mainly attributable to a 17.7 million increase in fees from maintenance and mailing of accounts, and 15.4 million in commission from banking services. The increase in maintenance and mailing of accounts was due to a higher market share in credit cards, while the higher commission from banking services was a result of higher insurance premiums sold. Other expenses increased 2.1% on a quarterly basis and 2.5% year on year. The quarterly growth was mainly due to increases of 4.9% in salaries and employee benefits, partially offset by reductions of 1.3% in administrative expenses and 3.6% in depreciation and amortization. The annual growth in other expenses was a result of increases of 7.8% in salaries and employee benefits and 7.2% in depreciation and amortization, partially offset by a 4.5% reduction in administrative expenses. The increase in salaries and employee benefits expenses was related to a higher average headcount in the fourth quarter compared to the fourth quarter of the previous year. The efficiency ratio was 43.7% in the fourth quarter, below the 46.6% reported in the third quarter, and registered an impressive reduction from the 50.7% registered in the fourth quarter of the previous year, mainly thanks to the cost control efforts at Interbank. On page 14, to summarize, Interbank registered a very strong quarter with net profit growing 10.6% quarter on quarter and 37.5% year on year, and we have sustained annualized high ROE of 36.2%. On page 15, the ratio of regulatory capital to risk-weighted assets was 15.2% in the fourth quarter, below the 15.8% of the previous quarter, but above the 13.4% registered in the fourth quarter of the previous year. The annual increase in the capital ratio was due to a 30.9% growth in regulatory capital, partially offset by a 15.6% increase in risk-weighted assets. The year-on-year increase in regulatory capital, $300 million, in March 2014. As of the fourth quarter, Interbank capital ratio was 15.2%, 340 basis points above its risk-adjusted minimum capital ratio established at 11.8%. The minimum regulatory capital ratio requirement was 10%, while the additional capital requirement for Interbank was 1.8% as of the fourth quarter. Please turn to the following page to discuss Interseguro's results. Interseguro's net profit was 53.2 million, a decrease of 16.3 million quarter on quarter and an increase of 79 million year on year. The quarterly decline in profits was mainly due to a decrease in total premiums earned, less claims and benefits, and an impairment loss on available for sale investment for a total of 6.7 million. The year on year increase in profits was mainly due to an increase in total premiums earned, less claims and benefits, and an increase in interest and similar income driven by the growth of Interseguro investment portfolio. Annualized ROE for the fourth quarter was 38.7%, below the 48.7% reported in the third quarter, but above the minus 18.4% registered in the fourth quarter of the previous year. On page 18, you can see a comparison with local GAAP results. Interseguro's net profit in the fourth quarter was 53.2 million under IFRS and 21 million under local GAAP. The main differences between IFRS and the local GAAP net profits are as follows. First, a lower adjustment of technical reserves under IFRS. Second, a higher net gain on valuation of real estate investments as they are considered at fair value under IFRS. And third, a higher attributable to non-controlling interest as gains on a real estate investment shared by Interseguro and Intercorp Real Estate are consolidated by Interseguro and then reported as attributable to non-controlling interest under IFRS. On page 19, net premiums in the fourth quarter were 165.3 million, a 1.7% decrease quarter on quarter, but a 9.6% increase year on year. The quarterly decrease was mainly due to a nearly 3.6% annuities market contraction. The year-on-year growth was mainly attributable to higher sales in annuities and individual life. Annuities market share by the end of 2014 was 25%, which positioned Interseguro as the market leader for 5 consecutive years. Adjustment of technical reserves in the fourth quarter were 109.5 million, an increase of 35.4 million quarter on quarter, but a decrease of 53.2 million year on year. The quarterly fluctuations in adjustment of technical reserves are mainly driven by changes in the weighted average discount rate used to calculate technical reserves for annuities. Year on year variations are also driven by changes in the discount rate as well as the growth of the annuities business. Net claims and benefits incurred remain relatively stable at 48.3 million. Considering the factors previously explained, total premium earned less claims and benefits resulted in $7.4 million in the fourth quarter. On page 20, in the fourth quarter, Interseguro investment portfolio reached 4,581 million soles, an increase of 7.7% quarter on quarter and 22% on a yearly basis. Results from investment in the fourth quarter were 96.8 million, which represented an 8.8% return on Interseguro's investment portfolio, above the 6.5% and the 8.2% reported in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter of the previous years, respectively. The quarterly growth in results from investment was largely explained by an increase in, of $32.2 million in valuation gain from investment property and a $7.3 million increase in net interest on investments available for sale as a result of an 11.2% increase in the average volume of Interseguro investment portfolio and a 6 basis point increase in the nominal average rate. The yearly growth was mainly driven by an increase of $25 million in valuation gain from investment property, partially offset by a lower profit from sale of investment property of $20.3 million, as well as an $11.2 million increase in net interest on investments available for sale as a result of a 29.7% increase in the average volume of Interseguro investment portfolio. On page 22, we will start the discussion on Inteligo Group results. Inteligo was able to generate strong growth quarter on quarter and year on year on client-related revenues. Net interest income grew 20.9% quarter on quarter and 44.3% year-on-year, while fee income grew 5.9% quarter-on-quarter and 36.2% year-on-year. The fourth quarter results were negatively impacted by a non-recurring charge in the bank investment portfolio. Excluding impairment loss, Inteligo's other expenses would have reached $17.8 million, a 13.4% increase year-on-year. On page 23, after the management plus deposits reached 10,724.6 million soles in the fourth quarter, showing 106.5 million soles or 1.0% decrease quarter on quarter, but 1,462 million or 15.8% increase year on year. Inteligo's quarterly decline in volume was attributable to a custody transfer instructed by an institutional client. Inteligo's loan portfolio stood at 1,430 million soles in the fourth quarter, a 9.2% increase on a quarterly basis, and a 27% increase year-on-year with no NPLs. Revenue generated by Inteligo reached 43 million, a 1.2% decrease quarter-on-quarter due to a decrease in other income, but 31.2% higher year-on-year. Inteligo Bank's fee income divided by asset under management stood at 1.3% for the fourth quarter, showing a strong quarter on client-related revenue and above both the quarterly and year-on-year figures. Net profit in the fourth quarter was $15.4 million, or 45% decrease quarter-on-quarter and 6.9% decrease year-on-year. ROE ending at 13.2%, below the one reported in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter of the previous year. To finalize the presentation, on page 24, we conclude that IFS registered solid fourth quarter results with strong operating performance in all three segments with sound asset quality and high profitability levels. At Interbank, 9% year-on-year growth in performing loans and 19.4% growth in consumer loans. 14.5% year-on-year growth in retail deposits. At Interseguro, 9.6% year-on-year growth in net premium and continues to be the leader in annuities for 5 consecutive years. 22% year-on-year growth on the investment portfolio. At Inteligo, 15.8% year-on-year growth in asset under management plus deposits and 31.2% year-on-year growth in revenue. High profitability, with a 96.8% yearly growth in net profit at IFS in the fourth quarter, and with full-year net profit growing at 8% and excluding non-recurring factors, and 22.1% if we exclude also the impact of discount rate fluctuations on the calculation of the technical reserve. The full year ROE was 24.6% for IFRS. Now, we welcome any questions you may have.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And our first question will come from Alonso Aramburu from BTG.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. I had a question on your asset quality. We had this increase in past due loans due to this particular loan. How much of this loan have you provisioned so far? So how much would we expect that this would still need to be provisioned going forward? And when you look at your portfolio, I imagine this loan had some visibility that was going to be delinquent. Do you have any other exposure that you think can become delinquent maybe in the oil and gas sector potentially?
Good morning, Alonso. As of the end of the last year, we have already provisioned 21.4% of the loan we're talking about. Okay, and of course, depending on the evolution on the loan, we are planning to do some additional provisions this year. Actually, we are currently in the process of evaluating different alternatives to solve the situation with this loan. And just one additional comment. This loan is fully collateralized.
Okay. How is your exposure to the oil and gas sector aside from this loan? Do you have any more exposure?
I mean, nothing substantially.
Okay. And then maybe on a separate issue, you had very nice growth in retail loans and especially credit cards, 2014. When we look at 2015, should we expect a similar development with retail loans growing much faster than commercial loans? Or do you expect something more evenly, more even growth going forward?
What we believe, Alonso, is that during 2015, we should be more aligned with the system average in terms of total PDL loan ratio, okay? And as the credit card portfolio has been growing very strongly, we expect also that specific ratio could be more in line with the system average.
The question about growth. As you are aware, we like the balance between 50-50 split commercial and retail. And that's what we've been maintaining during the last year, and that's what we expect to continue in the upcoming year. We've lost a bit of ground in the corporate segment at the end of the year. We saw some transactions where we did not want to participate because our focus on profitability. Nevertheless, we would like to maintain the 50-50 split, no? So that should guide our growth going forward.
Okay, so in that case, given if growth is more evenly divided between retail and commercial loans, should we expect a more stable NIM going forward?
Actually, what we are expecting is a slight improvement in NIM as what we have been experiencing over the past quarter.
Okay, and that is because of lower funding costs, or you think your asset side can get better yields?
Actually, it's a mix of things. As credit cards have been growing faster than other products, no, already, and that has been going on during 2014. That will already have an impact during 2015. As well as the decrease, for example, in the retail requirements, which have been impacting positively in 2014 and will continue to impact in 2015, and also some, lower impact coming from financial expenses. As in 2014, we had a strong impact from the bond, the subordinated bond that we issued, okay, which will be repeated during 2015.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your phones now. Again, that is star one to ask a question. And our next question will come from Natalia Corfield from J.P. Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the question. It's actually a follow-up from the previous question in terms of asset quality. You spoke about your exposure to oil and gas, and I'd like to know more about your exposure to the commodities in general, given what's going on right now. And also, you just mentioned that you expect your NPL ratio to be more aligned with the system. Well, you have been below the system, and therefore, can I conclude that you're expecting an increase in this ratio? And most importantly, I think could be a steep increase, given that you are much below what the system is showing. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Natalia. First, on the commodities exposure, I mean, actually, we are a bank that has a lower incidence within the portfolio when we compare ourselves to the industry in terms of commodities and specifically also mining. And this is due to the fact that those clients are very large corporates, and we are not that strong on those clients. So this is to answer one of your first question. In terms of the PDL evolution for next year, as of December, we are in line with the system due to the specific client that we mentioned. But if we take out that client, we would be at 2.1%, so it's below the system average. But what we do expect going forward for 2015, and this is mainly due to the composition and the mix of the portfolio, is that as credit cards continue to grow more within the total portfolio, that overall PDL ratio would be more in line with the system average. So we do not expect a fastest, increase in that PDL ratio. It's just a gradual increase due to the mix of the portfolio.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Rojas from Andino. Mr. Rojas, your line is open.
Hi, thank you. One question on the bank and one in the insurance. The banking sector will follow on with the same questions about commodities. If you could please highlight us, how big is your exposure in the corporate portfolio in agriculture and fishing industry, since El Nino has had some effects on the Peruvian economy? And on the insurance portfolio, if you could give us some light about Solvency II, if this year we're going to see some effects on that. The government has addressed the issue, when it's going to be implemented, and if you have some numbers that you can share with us about how it can affect that in Tesoros. Thanks.
Good morning, Carlos. On the agriculture and fishing, taking both segments into account, okay, they represent a little bit less than 15% of our portfolio, and basically the companies in which we have focused in the agriculture business are the ones related to agro-export, where we see much less risk. For the second question, I'm going to have to ask you to repeat it to me again, because I was thinking on your first question, sorry, when you say it.
I was thinking about Solvency II, which is something that we know is going to happen in the region as well as in Europe. And we would like to know if you already know when the government is going to ask insurance to implement this, and if you had already run some numbers how this can affect the insurance portfolio.
Let me just pass it on to Mari Carmen Rocha, CFO of Interseguro.
Hi, Carlos. It is not clear yet when Solvency II is going to be implemented in Peru. We just had an initial meeting with the FDS last week to discuss the implications and how we're going to proceed about this, but it's not clear yet. If we have run some numbers, we haven't run Solvency II yet, because it's not clear how it's going to be implemented in Peru. However, I think that our IFRS numbers are probably a proxy for what's going to happen with the reserve.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your phones now. Again, that is star one to ask a question. And our next question comes from Alonso Garcia from Credit Suisse.
Hello, good morning. Another follow-up on asset quality. Regarding the SME segment, how do you expect it to evolve during this year? And also, what are your expectations for cost of risk in 2015? Thanks.
Good morning, Alonso. As you have seen from the numbers we have presented, the SME segment, which we refer to as small and micro companies, has had, let's say, a deterioration during the last quarters of the year, now reaching the 5.5%, which compares to the 8.3% of the industry average. I mean, we do expect a slight deterioration during 2015, but we do not expect anything strong as what you see at the system average, and this is due to the fact that we today have a very small market share in that segment, which is between 3 and 4%. So basically, historically, we have been targeting the good clients in that segment, and moreover, during 2014, that specific segment has not grown. So we have not, let's say, acquired a lot of new indebtedness there. So we, yes, foresee some deterioration, but it should be, let's say, slight or in line with what we've seen during 2014.
Yeah, it's Luis Felipe, just to complement Piqueda's point on that business where we have a small market share, we do see opportunities. We had growth plans for 2014, but early on we saw the segment deteriorating, so we postpone our growth efforts as we've done in some other instances in the previous years. This time was related to this specific sector. We actually were like a bunch above our budget of what we would have liked to grow, but we saw some contamination in the portfolio. No? So we don't expect that to continue in 2015, where we're going to resume growth, and we've taken specific underwriting measures that make us comfortable that a strong deterioration of the portfolio will not be improved.
Thank you. Regarding cost of risk, what are your expectations for 2015?
Again there, we have a slight increase in cost of risk for the full year.
Related basically to the mix of the portfolio.
Exactly, in line with increase of provisions. Huh?
Yeah, where consumer loans and credit cards will have a heavy weight in the overall portfolio. Actually, if you see, the growth of consumer has been around 19.4%, while mortgage is only around 10%. That in retail explains a difference in balance. Besides that, our commercial portfolio only grew 2%. So that mix change will have an impact during 2015, but each related to each of the portfolios.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your phones now. That is star one to ask a question. At this time, there are no further questions waiting to be answered. I'd like to turn the call back over to Ms. Casaza for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you everybody for joining our call, and we will talk again in the next quarterly results in May. Bye everybody.